To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Listening to the best of the Browns.
Ball game over! Browns win! Browns win!
A weekly mix of 92.3 The Fan's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
That was Cleveland Browns football, bud. That's what the hell that was. Audio courtesy is the UH Browns Radio Network. Smart, tough, accountable football. You gotta see it to believe it, man. Guys, that's what the analytics say. What did you read what Emmanuel Acho said?
He and a host of others now, because of course I click on one of them on social media, so that's all I'm being fed.
Yeah.
But Acho said the Browns' two-point conversion was actually a brilliant play design. And then he did a whole minute and a half breakdown.
Excellent.
It was wide open. I mean, if he pitches that ball, it is a definite conversion.
Beef Wellington would look great, but if I give you old pencil shavings to make it, is it going to taste as good? The designs aren't the problem.
But the guy that's supposed to pitch the ball, you asked if
he didn't pitch the ball.
Yeah, he just didn't pitch the ball.
Didn't pitch the ball.
Like, isn't that just on Judkins?
Who the hell knows or cares anymore?
It appeared so, yes. It looked like he went, oh, crap.
You rarely see that.
I forgot by to the way,
Gage Lardan's looking back like, hello, yo. Was he not looking at him as they passed
and it was
by?
Blocked up
like
so
two
well.
Ships in the night, right along Lake Erie. Hello.
Like, dude,
what did they say to each other as they passed each other? What was the look in their eyes? One man went one way, the other guy went the other way, and they looked at each other and said, I loved you in Wall Street. What on earth was the mix-up? What on earth could have been the mix-up? Yes, it was drawn up. And yes, I know, I probably would have thought different had it worked out. Still Gage Larvidan running a jet sweep, a reverse, because it probably would have been Malachi Corley, except Malachi Corley got himself a concussion. Like, you got to think about the people that are doing it. There's so many different play calls and so many different great plays. You're going, hey, that's a great play to run. And then you realize, oh, wait a minute, I don't have it. It's not A.J. Brown and Jalen Hurts out there. It's Quinshon Judkins and Wildcat and Gage Larvidan.
I just can't believe.
Maybe we should just kick the field goals.
I cannot believe. You rarely see this in the NFL where, yes, they have so many pages and pages and pages and on their wrists, on their forearms. They've got all these plays. And then, they get talked to in their headsets, or at least the quarterback, and then they can relay the information. You rarely see one of the main guys on a play like that not do what he's supposed to do. Like, you see guys lined up wrong. Yeah, that happens from time to time. But, like, Judkins comes out of the huddle. He knows that's the play, right? Mm. Or did he not even understand from the moment they broke the huddle what the play was?
I don't know. Ask Kev.
I don't know. They asked Kev. You want to hear Kev?
Yeah, ask Kev.
What's supposed to happen on that last two-point conversion?
Yeah, not going to get into all the specifics, Jeff, but obviously it did not go as we thought it would.
Did you make that call or did Tommy?
Yeah, I make every call. I make every call.
Why would you take him off?
Yeah, it's a two-point play. Didn't come through on our first two-point play. Got to the second two-point play. We didn't come through, but that's on me.
What was that?
play call yours at Tomlin?
I'm responsible for all of it.
Kevin, on the first one, just I guess what prompted wanting to go for it in that scenario?
Yeah, it's a scenario that we talk about a lot. That's something that when you're down 14, feel good about the decision there. Didn't come through.
I didn't feel good about the decision. I had a feeling it wasn't going to go our way, and then it really didn't go our way. And they almost let him get ran back for two. That was almost...
Why wasn't he allowed to do that?
It was almost delicious.
Why is that play dead? Why was that whistle dead? Because that would have been a two-possession game if he...
Which one? The kid who ran it back?
Yeah.
Gray?
Yeah.
No, I think he just ran out of steam. No, didn't he just run out of steam?
He didn't get tackled. Eventually, they just stopped.
No, he got tackled.
Yeah, Blake Whitehart.
Yeah, Blake Whitehart came down there and tackled him.
He just stopped running, though. I thought he heard a whistle or something.
I know, and I think the TV... I had Nathan and Andrew live, and they were like, why did he just stop? I don't think there was any whistle. I don't think there was any whistle.
He would, if he was that tired, he would just give him the ball to somebody. Like, what? He had three guys right next to him. Nathan and Andrew
wondered why he didn't lateral it to somebody.
I think we're really getting too in the weeds on a 1-11 or a 1-10 well, team. 1-11 team today. Versus a 2-10 well, team.
That's now the whole show today.
And why do things happen?
And we're 3-10. But as angry as I am, and I mean, I'm obviously angry, and you got me into a good lather, I am very happy Shador played well. I'm really excited that Shador played well. I'm not yet ready to change future plans, depending on how they fall. But man, I'm pretty excited he played well. I thought there was real growth there yesterday.
I did too.
And I know that you're playing a fart of a team, but you are also a fart of a team because you lost to them. And while there was a major mistake, he's a rookie. Rookies are going to make some major mistakes. They came back from 14 down. You took him off the field for the one play that could have been a two-point conversion. There's not a chance in hell Dylan Gabriel's bringing you back from 14 down. No way.
Not against Tennessee?
No, not even against Tennessee, Anthony.
So that's what the haters for Shador will say.
Nah, they're full of it. Then you guys have dove too far into the online fights with the people online, which are mostly bots. Guys, mostly, I just mute them. They're mostly bots. I mean, I'm sure there are some very strong Shador fans who tell you to, you know, do terrible things to yourself and tell you to go walk into traffic or whatever Lima's inboxes are saying anymore. But yeah, I'm assuming it's not real and most of them are bots and I'm not going to dive into that crap. It's not going to happen. So I'm not going to hear of it. I'm not going to do it. All I know is I saw a quarterback play well. And if you've been worked that much into a shoot, you have to understand that the quarterback played well. Dylan Gabriel ain't bringing you back from that. No, I'd rather play with 10 than with Dylan Gabriel for the rest of the year. 216-474-0092. That wasn't happening yesterday with that guy.
I thought without a doubt, it was awesome to see. You said growth, like the stuff he was doing in the pocket and his, man, I'll tell you, the throws, he had these amazing throws, no doubt. And that's the arm talent that you would be blind not to have, you know, raved about. Because that was apparent, you know, on his college tape. That stuff was all there. But his ability... You know, one of the things I was worried about, I'll say it, I didn't make a huge deal about it, was his frame. I mean, if you look, there's not a lot of muscle on that body. There's, you know, quarterbacks are built in different ways. And, you know, when you're comparing guys to like Josh Allen, it's hard for anybody. There's only one Josh Allen in that league. But you wonder, somebody playing the game like he does, at times reckless, at times trying to buy time. But, you know, yesterday had his eyes down the field. Like, he did not take his eyes down at any point, so he was allowing guys to continue to run and maybe get open, had some smart throwaways to avoid damage, had some titanic mistakes, no doubt. The interception was as bad as you'll see in the NFL, and, you know, had a bunch of throwaways, too, that when they look at the film, you know, what normally happens is people are like, oh, no, he was just late, guys were open, whatever, we'll see. I was amazed at his ability to take those hits and get right back up. Because he also caused a lot of hits because he's holding onto the ball so long. And once those pats start, I thought Schlereth was on it about the padding of the football. That was some of the bad habits. Those were some of the bad habits he had in college. And he has now, he'll have an offseason to try to work on that.
Well, when you're down two scores, like the one I thought that maybe he's trying to, well, obviously the one he was trying to do too much on the one pick. And then I thought he almost got into a rhythm of trying to do too much. And then there was a just go down the field. And when he started to do that, it's like, okay, this is someone who's working. And I go back to the third quarter where they ended up having a punt, but he steps up in the pocket. He goes right. And it was like, all right, he's climbing the pocket. That's great. And then Nathan, it's because you can't see it on the TV broadcast. You can see it now on the All-22. He steps in the pocket. He rolls to his right. And Nathan had said on the broadcast, oh, the routes are to the left. But this is something that's going to come with more time. It'll come with more time. Yeah. But he climbs the pocket. So there is a thing where he's able to learn quickly. He's able to process it quickly. He's able to break those bad habits quickly, which is very tough to do. It's easy when guys are running around with broomsticks and you're wearing a t-shirt and shorts out there in the practice field. It's different when you actually have Jeremy Simmons coming for your head, okay? And when he's able to step up, climb, and yeah, I know he rolled out to the right, ended up being a throwaway, which was the right decision because, yeah, they were right. Everything was to the left. That's still, to me, that's still growth. That's still growth. And that's coming off of, yeah, some toughness there, some things that didn't go very well. I thought that he played. There were a couple times where he was remarkable. There were a couple times where I was wondering, all right, okay, what are we exactly getting here? And then when they're able to come back in the end, like I look at it and I go, it wasn't like it was some baby fifth rounder playing. That was a legitimate performance by him. And I, as angry as I am over, really, this is the culmination of 6 years bubbling up now. That's what this is becoming. I also want to give proper credit where it's due because he's a rookie and you're going to have a major decision to make. And you got four more games now and I don't know what's going to happen over those four games. So I'm going to give credit where it's due because there is an opening of a window there going, well, maybe we could. Maybe we could with this young man. Maybe he really has something that's just more than just jerseys and talk show fodder. Maybe we can entertain this conversation here. That's what I want to do. Anybody who knows us knows it's exactly what I want. I'm not just interested. Yeah, do I want to put on an entertaining show? Fine. But I'm not just going to sit here in the gutter and throw rocks at each other over any fifth round pick. That wasn't what a fifth round pick does yesterday. Let them back down the field. They had themselves a chance to tie it. They didn't make the best decisions on those play calls because, again, I look at the sum of your parts, not exactly the overall outcome. And I still thought he did a very, very, very fine job. I was very impressed by him yesterday.
I think a lot of people
should have been impressed by him. If you weren't, I think you're fighting the fight too much online.
He opened up my mind because I did not expect him to be able to just keep on going after them. I know he's the reason they were down. Well, that and the block punt. He's the reason they got down two scores to the worst team in football, which now maybe it might be us. I don't know. But the fact that he absorbed those hits, he kept on coming, he kept his confidence. That guy's confidence is never going to waver. And that you kind of have to be delusional at times to play quarterback in the NFL. And now the fact that we're even talking about a scenario where he could buy a real evaluation here down the stretch of the last four games against playoff teams. Three teams are playoff teams or are fighting for their playoff lives. He earned that. You know, we talked earlier about you got to earn stuff. He earned that, and so I thought that was awesome.
It's a Monday after a bad loss to a bad football team, so obviously I'm going to be a little prickly about it. But do you believe that yesterday was the perfect game for you as a Browns fan?
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Ah, DSW, Earth Place of the Humble Brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming up at 11 o'clock, Scott Petrak from the Chronicle-Telegram is going to join us at noon. Tyvis Powell, our partner on the Browns Radio Network, and at 1 o'clock, Kevin Stefanski's press conference. After the Browns losing 31-29 to the worst team in football.
Are we now not the worst team in football? If you call them the worst team in football, you lose to them. Are you the worst team in football?
Do I have to say how bad they were?
One win. That's all I needed to hear.
Had lost seven straight. Had been outscored by 158 points. Most biggest differential in the NFL. Mm. And lowest scoring offense in the NFL, 14.2 points a game, and they put up 31 on the Browns. And the Browns defense.
17. How long have they been in? When did they move to Tennessee? I'm trying to remember what year that was.
Late 90s, I think.
Late 90s, because I know the overall record includes.
Early
2000s. This had to have included the Oilers then.
Yeah, I don't know.
They were 17-17 in Cleveland, so now we're under. They have the advantage against
us.
The
Oilers.
That's right,
the Texans.
That was
a
catchy little tune, wasn't it?
Texans did a great job last night against the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Chiefs are toast.
Houston, by the way, Oilers.
You want to know what analytics do to good coaches?
Get them fired?
Make them look stupid.
Yeah, it does.
Andy Reid last night went for it in a 10-10 game on a fourth down from his own 31-yard line. 10-10 game. And his defense had been playing really well in the second half. And Andy said yesterday, that's on me. I messed it up, blah, 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 blah. And then the explanation, you know, in the writing that I saw, the analytics say you're supposed to go for it in that situation. Like to know the last time analytics ever actually won a football game.
Danny, okay. Yeah, I know he said that. You'll be all right. He said something nasty about analytics.
I mean, what are we on? Year seven of this?
Yeah.
You ain't changing it, nor am I.
Yeah.
You know what I thought? I thought Nathan Zagura had a great line yesterday.
A couple good ones at the end of the game.
And he said, analytics are one thing, humanalytics are something else. And that's, to me, that's the thing. You're playing this game with human beings. You're down by 14. You score a touchdown. You kick the extra point. You're down by a touchdown and an extra point. Instead, you go for two.
Here's the other problem I have with the analytics. Is the analytics working for teams that have 10 wins? Because I don't know that it's always going to work for a team that has 3 wins. Or do the analytics work for a team that has, I don't know, 2/5 of their offensive line playing? Should you assume that every player is the same? Because to me, that's what analytics says. I don't know how it can differentiate between player talent on the field, starters, experience, history. I don't know. Is there a formula for that? Has AI come up with that yet? That's the problem with analytics here. Oh, let's just imaginary, say 75% of the time, teams that go for it on 4th-and-1 from the 50 make it. 71. Well, that means 25% don't. So you got a 1-in-4 shot. You're not going to do it. And then the other part is of the 75%, how many teams are in the position on 4th down to have to go for it? And if they're a good team, they're going to make it. If they're a bad team, they're not. I mean, I don't need a computer to tell me what my team is doing at the current moment. And a computer would have told me leave Shedeur. If a computer would have said, oh no, taking Shedeur Sanders out at the end of the game and running a wildcat was a good idea on the 2-point conversion, I would have thrown the computer out the window. Why would you walk away from a hot quarterback at the end of the game? I'm like, it's real. Hopefully by noon I can let this thing go. But I'm still burning from that yesterday.
You shouldn't let that thing go.
Well, I mean, I just don't want to sit here and harp on the same story over and over.
You had a hot quarterback.
I just don't get it. I don't understand
why you would walk away from that. And Jeff, it's the same feeling I used to get with Nick Chubb. Exactly the same thing. Mm-hmm. And I'm irritated, you know, the next day about it. And the other problem is you can't go to the podium every time and say it's on us. We have to do better. At some point, it is on you and you're going to lose your job. You can, I can see firing that off once a year. It's every game.
Greg's in Florida. Greg, what part of the fine state of Florida are you in?
Sarasota.
Sarasota. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. How are you guys doing?
We're hanging in.
We're crummy.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, for you.
Feel free to
now
talk
would
here.
Be the time yeah. to talk, Greg.
Yeah, so yesterday I couldn't help but feel a certain kind of way. We're analyzing Shador Sanders, right, for next year, whether we're going to draft or whatever, but I couldn't help but feel this way. We score, Shador runs in that touchdown to go down 8, and I couldn't help but feel, but you kick the extra point.
Yes, you do. Way, I think you do.
That okay, and then that way, if you score another touchdown, which he does, which is great, at that point, you that can make your decision where you can go and try to either tie it up and go in overtime, or you can try and go win the game to still analyze him because he's legendary, right? So now you're like, oh, you
who's
have this
legendary?
Great performance.
Wait, who's legendary? Yeah. What are you talking about?
It's just the quote. But anyways, it gives you another chance to analyze them and like give them a chance to either win the game or kick the field goal or kick the extra point to go into overtime. And I just don't understand what this coach is doing. And then even if you lose that way, you know, it's like at least you put the ball in his hand and you gave your quarterback the opportunity to try to do something. And what they did is just unexcusable.
Greg, I'll tell you what he was doing. He was following what analytics tell you to do. It was really well explained by Andrew Siciliano and Nathan Zagura in the game. The analytics will tell you in that situation when you're down to go for 2. And I think it's stupid.
Yeah, that's why, I don't know, I watched something on Mary Kay last night, and like, I feel the vibe. I think it's just, I believe, I haven't wanted Stefanski for a long time now, and she said something, used some analogy that the nail's in the coffin. She used that analogy. She didn't say he's done, but she used that analogy, and I just think he is done, so.
All right, hey, have a good day.
Thanks.
Enjoy the weather. We could use some up here.
Enjoy the day. Enjoy the weather. Okay.
I get tired after you, like, the first minute and a half of his phone, first minute is everything you just said.
Well, it was.
Okay. Well, yeah. Okay. Just kind of stick with the program a little bit. That's
all right. Everybody's frustrated, Andy.
I'm frustrated.
Everybody. Larry's frustrated.
Larry.
Man, I'm focused, man. I'm happy. You know why?
You're happy.
Because we still got another day. Yeah, man, most of all.
Hey, Larry, make me happy. Take it off speakerphone, okay?
Okay, all right. Here we go.
Thank you.
Here we go. All right, hold on. Just a minute.
We're good. We're good. Right. We got all the time in the world.
Do you hear me now?
Yeah, we still hear you. Still not working great, but that's all right. Go ahead.
Saying, man, Kapaski, you know who he ought to do. I think he got a big resentment against Sanders, man, because
Larry, stop that, man. Shador was great. He passed for 363. Yeah, Kevin put him in a position to succeed, and he did.
Though. That's the thing. We supposed to win that. We at home. We had the momentum. How can you lose? And then, most of all, we outplayed them, really. But most of them, we had.
No, you didn't. You gave up 31 points to the worst offense in football.
Yeah, defense didn't help you yesterday.
I understand that, but guess what? Somebody got to take an L for that because Skabanski should have had a stab more better fundamental standard for that, man. How you going to block a kick and then the other receiver or other opponent went like 6 yards to second play? Come on, man. That's unexcusable for a coach. But we got to, man, it's time to change. It's time to break the chain. Man, we got to change the whole flow, man. Get some new coaches, staffing, because some hungry, high energy people. And man, that office coordinator is terrible. And now, Judy, just be quiet and catch the ball. Hello.
I thought his back was done after the backflip yesterday. I thought it was because he was holding.
Why
his
would
back
you do a backflip on a frozen football field?
I don't know. No, it was super soft. The field was a mess yesterday. Skafanski, that's a new one, isn't it?
Skafanski is a new one. Yes.
So does that go on the Hall of?
Oh, without question. Skafanski. I think he said Kafanski to start off with too.
Oh, so we got two and
so
one.
We got two of them.
Okay, yeah. So we got Kafanski.
Kafanski and the can. What was it? Shoot.
Stakansky.
It's already been a day.
What are the other ones we have?
Stepanski
will always be my favorite.
Stepanski is my favorite.
Stepanski will
Can I have a Phelpsian moment for half a second here?
Right, what is the one thing?
Not sure what that means.
We are up to two callers in a row.
Mm-hmm.
It's inexcusable, not unexcusable. Inexcusable.
Thank you. Oh, red pen. He's the one that called you red.
Heaven forbid we follow the language.
And it's two people in a row. Inexcusable.
I'm not sure how to pronounce this name. You're in Cleveland. What's your
Ramadi,
name?
Ramadi, isn't it?
Ramadi?
Hey. Yes, Ramadi.
Hey, Ramadi. Hi, how are Ramadi. You? Are you driving, Ramadi? Are you Hello?
On my way to work.
All right, you stay on speakerphone because I don't want you to get an accident.
Yeah,
keep going.
Be safe.
Yeah.
You guys hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yeah, man. I just want to say that it's over with, man. I mean, just not football sense, man. Just dumb football sense. Like, you ever play football? I mean, you could just look at the stuff and, like, how do you not keep the extra point? I mean, what are we doing here? I mean, like, we got some talent on offense as rookies, man. I love Juckins. I love Fannin. Shador did his thing. You know what I'm saying? So how we go forward with a coach that doesn't use football sense? You know, like,
well, he's using something else, Ramadi, and that, to me, it drives me nuts. He's using analytics.
Yeah, I mean, that's not football, though. I mean, like, are we playing football?
Many teams will tell you that it is. I disagree. You kick the extra point.
Kick the extra point. I've watched a lot of football. I have never seen a coach down 14 go for two. I don't know.
Actually, it's happening a lot these days, and I hate it. It's happening a lot these days.
Don't be the smartest guy in the room. Just play football. Exactly. Do your job.
Exactly.
Just do your job. Kick the extra point.
Jim's in Strongsville. Jim.
Hey, Jim.
In honor of Dan, what is unacceptable or inacceptable or whatever?
Inexcusable.
I don't know. Now I'm confused on which one's which. Anyway,
inexcusable is a word. Unexcusable, not a word.
That's unexcusable, what you're saying.
Thank you, eighth grade English teacher.
Yes.
Listen. So what all comes back to is the defense. I mean, we can nitpick left and right all we want to about, you know, going for two, not going for two. But I think the defense was the real story. And you guys brought it up last week. I know we had injuries, but you guys brought it up last week. Well, how do you know if a team's giving up, or are they playing hero ball? There was a lot of hero ball yesterday on the defensive side. And I would say that there was more interest in getting I think they were playing for Miles to get sacks. And you know what Tennessee did that was, I thought it was actually brilliant. Most of the time, what they would do is whoever was going, they were putting on that side to chip Miles. That's exactly where they threw the ball, was to that guy, because he was unaccounted for. And so there was a good game plan. I think the defense was disorganized. I don't think they were disciplined yesterday. I think they were playing hero ball. I think you are seeing, at least on the defensive side of the ball, guys going for statistics versus going for wins.
Jim, they went after that game as if, at least it appeared this way to me. They went after that game like, all right, we got Tennessee here. We're going to beat these guys. And in the process, let's do some cool things, like get sacks and everything else. It just seemed like, especially at the beginning of the game, Tennessee came out so quickly and put up points. You know, 7-0 on an 8-play, 53-yard drive, 14-3 on Tony Pollard with a 65-yard run. I mean, come on, man. And it felt that way all game long. 216-474-0092. It's Baskin and Phelps here on The Fan.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck.
Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi.
Hi. It's almost like our perfect show in many ways. I get to talk about how great Shador was. You get to talk about firing Kevin Stefanski. It feels like this is if there was ever a show made for us, this might be today.
I mean, listen, it was, there are some people describing it as the best case scenario. And to me, that is the epitome of loser mentality. We'll get to that later. How you feeling about Shador? You feeling good today?
Yeah, I got to feel good about Shador today. Yes.
Any victory laps you'd like to take?
Right? No. We're better than the victory
laps.
We
are not.
You can't
take
ride.
The
there's
victory
there's
lap.
Too many highs and lows and everything that comes with talking football. You don't believe me when I say this. I don't take the highs and run with them. I don't. I bury myself in the lows because I'm just a masochist or something. I'm not sure. I just murder myself with the lows.
Whips but when and chains and whatnot.
When the highs happen, you got to take it in stride, because the NFL, the way this works is they're just waiting to just go ahead and slap you across the face next week and figure it all out from there. But it felt really good. It felt really good to be able to have Shador play the way that he did. Nick, not just the idea that he looked good. Think about how he looked good. You had only Joe Bitonio was the starting lineman from week one that was on the field in yesterday's game. You were down to four backup offensive linemen. You had three different pass catchers get injured in that game. He got 64% of pressure on plays, and he was dealing. Like, that was a lot of fun.
So here's, you do need to take a victory lap today.
In
the,
won't do it.
That many supporters should be taking a victory lap, because for 8 months, people have gotten progressively and progressively negative, more negative about Shador. And for a majority of those 8 months, he hasn't played. Like, I am Switzerland. I can only take so much of a victory lap for being open-minded to Shador, being a good NFL quarterback. But, like, I understand the idea of, like, because here's the thing. If you don't do it today, there's not a mythical time in the future you will. It's not like at the end of the season, if he's got four more good games ahead of him like he did yesterday. It's going to be 4 weeks late.
We got enough time for I Was Right Radio. Don't worry. There's enough. I do love that part of life. I love I Was Right. But I don't. No. We don't. Unless I'm, shooting off celebration cannons, we take things in stride, Nick. That's how we do things around here.
I see.
Here.
You didn't want to bring the cannon back
how we
today,
do.
Huh?
I wanted to. It was a loss. I couldn't bring it back in a loss.
Yes, you could.
No, I couldn't.
Yes, because it was an L for them, and it was a dub for you.
This is where my emotional strings are being pulled in every single direction. Did last night feel good in many ways? Yes, it did. Do I feel better about the idea that in a loss, the season's going nowhere. Like if the season was going to the postseason, or if the year was going to the postseason, that would have been crushing to lose that game in that situation in many ways. But there are enough Browns fans out there that just think we did enough for the draft board yesterday, and that's the win. And then Shador looking good and being able to evaluate him for the rest of the season, that's also the win. And so I left last night feeling overall very optimistic.
I would love to be able to have a true representation of where Browns fans are today with the three things from that game that left you feeling some sort of way. And it's really four things, if we're being honest. It's Shador's four touchdown performance. And not just that, it's the highs and lows of the interception in the third quarter that gave Tennessee the lead, basically. And then watching him mount a comeback. So that's one part of it. The handling of Shador in the fourth quarter while he was dealing, including the 2-point conversions.
Yep.
Well, that's another part of it, which is, again, why you lost. The coaching boo-boos across from Bubba to Kevin to Tommy. And then, of course, the defense picking the worst week you could have to have the worst week. Like, I saw...
That was Tony Pollard, Jim Brown.
Not just that.
What happened there?
But, like, honestly, guys, Cam Ward wanted to give you this game. He wanted to give you four interceptions.
I'm getting so angry thinking about the amount of people that were even questioning. Like, did Cam Ward play a better game than Shador yesterday? What are you talking about? Stop huffing paint. It was very obvious who the better quarterback in the field was yesterday.
I can't remember the Jamoke from Nashville radio, but somebody had put the stats up of Shador and Cam Ward, and he's like, well, one of these guys plays the number two defense. I'm like, the Browns have the number two defense, but they just played like number two yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, that was a wild amount of people that were trying to make the case that Cam Ward looked awesome in that game. And as if the Devin Bush interception, by the way, just never existed. As if he didn't have all sorts of throws that were nowhere close and only threw for 140 yards passing. That was bothersome. What I thought early on the narrative was going to be after the Quinshon 58-yarder to the house, I thought people were going to be like, because he started accumulating a lot of numbers very quickly in that game. And I was like, oh no, people are just going to wipe away. They're going to say this is all because of the 58-yarder and it's not going to look good. And I'm like, oh no. And then obviously you end up with the game where he has almost 400 all-purpose yards. He is the leading rusher in the game. He is obviously the leading passer in the game. And he made a million big-time throws that we can talk about.
I mean, I just think the push and pull of today, and I'd love to get the true representation where you're at today, is are you more excited about Shador's big game or angry at Kevin Stefanski? Because I had 4 hours. That was a slow game yesterday. I had 4 hours of Stefanski. And we can say, well, Tommy Rees called this play, or well, Bubba Ventrone, he's the head coach of the team. For the love of God, you can ascribe some blame to the head coach of the team. That versus I was really worried I was going to have to come in here and be like, Shador lost the game because that's how bad that interception was. Only for that young man to go out and within, what was it, 5 minutes, 6 minutes, put together two game-winning drives in what I honestly is not even close, the best quarterbacking performance we've seen.
Not even close.
And honestly, not just this year, because that's the lowest bar ever. Probably since Joe Flacco picked one of the games back in 2023.
I mean, he rallied in a way that we've seen him do at Colorado, and he took it to the next level. And so, like, this was in start three, he throws for 360 yards, accounts for 4 touchdowns in what I've described as just the most banged up offensive line in the sport, and 3 pass catchers out in that game. Like, that is a mwah chef's kiss of a performance by Shador. And when we talk about it, we have to keep going to the idea that there are so many quarterbacks, veterans in this league, that would have absolutely faltered under those circumstances with that situation, the way that you're playing with just a starved offense that was just, they had nothing on that team at that point.
Also, he wasn't playing against IUPUI. This narrative, and I listen, let's just be honest. If you're not totally convinced on Shador, we're cool. If you are, if you're like, I need to see that a couple more times before I get too excited, we are cool. If you are negating what he did yesterday, just admit it, you're not a Browns fan anymore. If you can't take enjoyment out of what that was yesterday, even in a loss, even against the Titans, I'm sorry. Like, Guys, we've seen plenty of Browns quarterbacks. We've seen Dylan Gabriel throw for 160 yards against the New York Jets in a loss.
That was like three Dylan Gabriel games worth of production, by the way. Like,
I understand that Shador is a lightning rod. I understand there were a myriad of reasons that you might not like him, including some that are really just stupid, petty, and some that are just really horrific. But if you can't get excited by what you saw yesterday, I think you just might not be, I don't know, liking football anymore.
So the only part that did make me mad was the idea that, and obviously we'll touch on this a little bit later on, but the idea that, this ended any conversation about whether or not the Browns could evaluate quarterbacks when you think Dylan Gabriel was anything close to that guy. But it also makes it just so obvious and so clear that the discussion the entire time was just fraught with all sorts of problems. And clearly, if it was a misevaluation, call it what it was. But then they don't know how to evaluate. And on top of it, I can't believe so many people fell for that line of thinking and just took what they spoon-fed them and just acted as if that was what was obviously happening with the idea.
It doesn't sound like you're talking about fans, by the way. It sounds like you're talking maybe more in a professional
sense. So many people in this instance. They got spoon-fed information. I had all sorts of people here coming up and showing me Browns are saying this about behind the scenes. Yeah. Oh, yeah, okay, because I'm going to believe everything the Browns tell me. And these people believed them. They believed what the Browns told them. They ran with it, and it was so irresponsible that I can't even have it.
I was so confused.
So irresponsible.
I was so confused all of yesterday night. One, because I was watching the Bears-Packers game, which I don't care what the score says. That was just a dud of a game. There was so much bad quarterbacking in that, but I digress. So I was a little bummed that didn't live up to the hype in my head. And two, I was confused because I was like, well, I really want to be excited about Shador. But also, God, you know what, well, you Kevin okay. Stefanski.
So you know what this is, though? This is the Baker game against the Raiders, where Nick Chubb went off and had a couple major runs. You lose that one 45-42 in overtime, but Baker looked awesome in that game. I think that was another 350-yard performance for Baker, and that's very early on in his rookie season. That is after, obviously, the Jets game in Week 3, but that's the first runway that he had, and it was a loss. It was a loss, but there was so much hope attached to that loss and scoring a 40-point performance that you just have to resign yourself to the idea that was for the greater good almost. Like, that wasn't for Shador. It doesn't mean Shador is going to be the franchise quarterback for the next 10 years and we go to the Super Bowl and everything's awesome after one game. But he gets the next four games. He gets the runway to continue to show what he can do, and then we're off to the races. Hopefully, we're off to the races.
We'll get to the best-case scenario for Browns fans and why I hate that mentality. I do think yesterday was potentially the best case scenario for supporters, because I think you got to see Shador, you got validated with Shador and all the nonsense of the NFL machinations against this kid, while also you're one step closer to Kevin Stefanski getting fired. So to the supporters out there, that really was a pipe dream moment. Like, could it really ever be this good?
I thought it was going to be impossible to have him have a game like he did yesterday, and the prevailing thought afterwards wasn't going to be anything but Stefanski's awesome. Wow, look at the work that he did.
Yep.
I didn't know that we could have this type of moment. And because because we've been talking about it for months, what was going to make me the most angry all through all of this was them trying to take credit for Shador being good at football. He's always been good at football, okay? There's nothing Stefanski did in 3 weeks that made the light bulb go on, okay? And I was getting ready to be angry about it all, but the way yesterday went down, that's not the conversation at all.
Listen, we'll wait to see what Albert Breer has to say tomorrow at 5:20. That would be my only rebuttal there, because... Oh, I remember. He lit us up. He tanned that ass, I think, if I remember his MMQB.
He said your name, not mine there. So,
Remember whose name he said. Might have to play that little ditty for Albert Breer tomorrow at 5:20. We'll see just how open-minded he is.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.